Good afternoon. I'm Jordan Peoples, and Marvel sucks.
I'm Cade Weiberg, and no, it doesn't. And today is a very special occasion in the history of the podcast. 7 years in, I have finally talked Jordan into watching the X-Men franchise.
At least some of it.
Yes. We're going to hit the high notes. We've done Raimi Spider-Man. We have done early 2000s Blade and late 1990s Blade. And we've done Logan. We did Logan when it came out because I was so gung-ho about it. And Jordan was less so. But
I can see a world where we revisit it at the end of this X-Men.
And you actually like loop. It because you are attached to characters that you were just introduced to in that movie.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. So we are covering X-Men 1, X-2, X-3, The Last Stand. We are skipping X-Men Origins Wolverine unless Jordan is really just into being punished that particular week for whatever reason.
Seems unlikely.
That one is kind of unanimously like the worst one. And then we will do X-Men First Class, and then we will do Days of Future Past. So we're going to skip the Wolverine solo movies, and we've already seen Logan. This is all in anticipation for Deadpool 3, I should also clarify.
Right, which comes out when?
July 22nd. So we're going to have these five movies in the bag by late July. As of recording, it is the end of March.
Seems doable.
We have recorded much more in much less time.
Yes.
So this is the start of our X-Men franchise. But first off, Jordan, how have you been?
Oh, I've been well. Just busy.
How was your... the last episode we did was the Duzzies. Did President's Day happen since then? How was your President's Day?
I cannot remember what happened, but I'm sure if I had the day off, I'm sure I appreciated it. Much like I appreciated having Good Friday off just yesterday.
You had Good Friday off?
I did.
Oh, man. That, you want to know what stays open during Good Friday? Movie theaters
movie
everywhere.
Theaters. Yeah, that makes sense.
Did you go see a movie?
I didn't. I tried to. I pitched that to Ellie, but she is currently working on her PhD prospectus.
That sounds like a good excuse to watch a movie to take a break.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. PhD sounds like a lot of thinking. Whenever I worked too hard in college, I would watch a movie. It didn't happen often, but I did watch a lot of movies.
Yeah. No, it has been a big slog, so.
Fair enough.
But she's plugging away.
Have you watched anything exciting other than X-Men 1 as of late? It's been about 6 weeks since we've done an episode, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've seen a movie. I saw Dune 2.
Great. Fantastic film. Truly phenomenal.
It was good. I actually had a couple walk out during Dune 2.
Really?
And I'm like, that's so weird, because if you watched Dune 1,
yeah,
this is like cooler and more accessible than Dune 1.
Maybe.
So it makes me think they didn't see Dune 1. They just jumped in for Dune 2.
I definitely had a couple or several couples at my theater where the guys were like dragging their girlfriends, and the girlfriends are like, I haven't seen Dune 1. And the guys are like, but you love Timothy Chalamet. Just sit through it. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice any walkouts in my tenure. Dune 2 is still like doing so well at the theater. Like 4 weeks in, we just released Godzilla X Kong yesterday. A huge monkey fighting a huge dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And that movie sold as many tickets yesterday as Dune 2 did.
Yeah.
That is the staying power of Denis Villeneuve.
And it is. I mean, it's the spectacle. Like, it's absolutely, I'm glad I got up and went to see it at the theater.
Yeah.
My
favorite modern director. As soon as he gets selected by Kevin Feige to do a Marvel movie, it is all over for all of those other Marvel movies. That's going to be my number one with a bullet.
You don't think he would make something like Eternals? I mean, I know you'd enjoy that, but I don't know how well that would do in the MCU.
Imagine.
I don't know how hungry the audience is for that.
Just imagine if he made Eternals, though. But he's a bigger name than Chloe Zhao, especially after doing Eternals.
Like, yeah, I would. I'm just saying, like, they have some similarities in their, like, leaving space for kind of tension to build and stuff that I think Marvel movies and Marvel audiences don't tend to appreciate. They want stuff moving.
But have you seen his other films? How many movies of his have you seen?
I don't know.
I've watched his entire filmography. Well, let me start from the beginning, my good man.
Well, I was going to bring up the list so I could just...
I was a fan of his in college, so I imagine I showed you some of his stuff at some point. Prisoners being like my go-to college thriller that I showed everyone. With Hugh Jackman, Wolverine himself.
I don't believe I saw that.
And Jake Gyllenhaal? Haven't seen Mysterio himself?
No, I saw Sicario.
Yes. Yeah, I showed you Sicario. That's right. You drove from Atlanta for 8 hours, arrived at my apartment at 10 p.m., and I was like, you gotta see this. And you were very sleepy.
Yeah. I do not remember the end of that movie very well. I do, however, remember Blade Runner 2049.
Yes, where you watched Blade Runner the first for the first time and then immediately went to the theater.
Yeah.
What a great
And I cut it so close that even though Alex was coming from the exact same place, he left earlier because he was like, I don't know if you're going to finish this in time. Well, so I rolled in like right as it was starting.
Me and Alex have a history of watching the previews together, so he didn't want to miss that.
Fair.
Yes, as soon as Denis Villeneuve makes a Marvel film, I am locked in. You should really watch Prisoners, though. It is, like, genuinely my favorite psychological thriller of all time. If you can call it that. It's also just more of a thriller, arguably. It's like a girl goes missing, and Paul Dano plays a mentally challenged individual, and he is the only witness to Hugh Jackman's daughter disappearing.
I see.
Really, really, really good. Just like Hugh Jackman is in this film, X-Men.
And then the other thing that I've watched since then is the first season of Succession.
Oh, what? You haven't seen Succession yet?
No. And I've gotten like halfway through the second season.
It is like the best prestige television we have in this. Like, it's... post Breaking Bad, I think this is the closest we get to that kind of level of prestige television.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite prestige television show is probably Severance.
Oh, really?
It's only been one season, but I loved
Severance. I thought you were going to say Mad Men.
I don't know. Severance is really great. I do like Mad Men doesn't have a sci-fi angle. I do like a sci-fi.
This is the first time I've heard you talk about Severance ever.
I bet if you played the podcast back, I have a couple other mentions of it.
I don't think so. I just watched it for the first time like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What'd you think?
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. Excited to see where they go with it.
I know. I have so many different
questions that
show raises.
I don't think this will happen, but this is such a show that could easily be fucked up. Kind of like Westworld got fucked up.
Oh, for sure.
There's just so many ways and paths they could take, and it would be very easy to take a path that sucks.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that, like I said, like it asks so many questions.
Yeah.
But then when you actually have to start answering those questions, it's easy to disappoint the audience, because nothing is going to be... whenever you make the audience speculate about what's happening, they'll come up with theories in their head that they hope it is, and you're going to end up disappointing some of them.
It is the Lost effect. If Lost was not 120 whatever episodes, it could have been, like The Leftovers is 3 seasons made by the same people, and you're just like, oh, that answered just the right amount of questions to leave me talking about this forever. Lost continued to answer all of the questions, and then every time it answered a question, it would ask you 10 more questions. And by then, it just insane.
Yeah. Did you ever see Mrs. Davis?
No, is that the other Lindelof show? The Peacock original?
I think so. All I know is a show starring the woman who is in Glow with Alison Brie.
Mm.
Betty Gilpin?
Okay.
I think's her name.
Didn't watch Glow.
But it's like a she's living in a world where there is this like universal general intelligence AI assistant that everyone is using that is like controlling what is happening. And for some reason is like choosing her to, I mean, I it's been a while since I've watched it, so I don't remember the exact, but it's super ridiculous and over the top, almost in a kind of like a everything everywhere all at once kind of way.
I see.
Except for it's a TV show, so they have more space.
And didn't win Best Picture.
No. And I mean, I certainly wouldn't say it's the quality of Everything Everywhere All at Once, but it has a similar level of like irreverent, like you're not going to be able to follow craziness to it.
Lindelof is one of my favorite showrunners / writers, so I would be inclined to enjoy that, I believe.
But again, like the reason I brought that up now is that it does a similar thing where when it's bringing up the questions, it's so much fun. And then when it starts answering them, it's still good, but not quite as good as when everything was.
Yeah.
When it was first unraveling the mystery.
And that's only one season. So they didn't even have the mystery box for very long.
No, which I very much appreciate about it.
Okay.
I like that it's just a contained thing.
Did you watch The Curse?
Is that the
Paramount Plus Safty Nathan Fielder show?
No, we started it one day and then it was just like, I don't, we just didn't have the energy for it that show.
It is truly insane.
Yeah.
It is exactly what you would expect from Nathan Fielder and the creators of Uncut Gems.
Yeah. Now I, definitely since starting my job, which is stressful in a way that, none of my previous work has been.
Are you telling me the pet sitting job was not as stressful?
Yeah, I didn't take it home with me as much.
I see.
But this has made my media taste way dumber.
Oh, like
I used to have the patience to like, it's like, you know, I want to sit down and watch a movie that's going to make me feel something.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't want to feel anything.
This is what I've been doing. I've been drinking Bud Light and watching Iron Man 2 for 10 years, and I've just wanted you to be on my level for that long.
Yeah.
So you're finally
that's where I'm at now. I mean,
welcome to the gutter.
on PS5, I've been playing just like Street Fighter 6 and Gran Turismo.
Nice.
You know what those have? Like, no
fast
story.
Cars.
Yeah, vroom, 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 punch, punch, punch.
So, I take it, the other part of this was you were maybe going to watch Last of Us, but it sounds like you...
Or play Last of Us.
Or play Last of Us, that's what I meant, yes.
That could still happen. It has not started yet.
It is. I mean, it's a very fun game, but it is kind of an emotional... Honestly, the story of Last of Us 2 is better than 90% of television shows that I have seen. It's truly bad. And then the first one is probably, you know, it's still a very good story, but it's better than like 50% of TV shows I've seen. But yeah, it's all about 2. 2 is next level. Highly recommend you start those games. And they're, you know, you can just focus on killing zombies and humans who are trying to steal stuff from you.
Yeah, so it's like just a over-the-shoulder shooter?
Yeah, third-person shooter in the vein of Uncharted. It relies more on salvaging things like... in Uncharted, you kind of have a lot of ammo because it's like an Indiana Jones, and Indiana Jones never runs out of bullets type thing.
Right.
This is, uh-oh, I ran out of bullets, and there's like this meth head trying to hack me with a 2x4.
Yeah, I was playing Resident Evil Village.
That is a thinking game. There are a lot of puzzles in that.
I was also playing it in VR because I have a PSVR 2. I'm one of the very few people. The reason I have it is for the racing game.
Wow, how much does that cost? I didn't even know they made that.
It's way too expensive. This is not a justifiable purchase for basically anybody except for someone who wants to play Gran Turismo in the actual cars.
And what, you were just at the store one day and you were like, let's make this happen.
No, for whatever reason, I'd been interested in sim racing games for a while, and then I got a wheel, and then I was like, ooh.
You got a wheel?
Yeah.
That's the crazier purchase, because the VR you can use for other games. What? How are you going to use your wheel for Resident Evil Village?
No, I certainly can't. But once I had the wheel, though, like, you want to be able to like look around corners and stuff. And the VR really does put you just like straight up in the cockpit of the car. It's
That's
great.
So insane.
Yeah.
Just the wheel. I didn't even know they still made the wheel. Like, I remember that being a PS2 purchase.
Oh, I mean, the wheels now have force feedback.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It pulls against your hands.
Yeah.
Like, and you can feel, like, if you're starting to lose traction, you can kind of feel that in the wheel.
Do you get a lot of mileage out of this? No pun intended. Do you use this often?
Yeah.
So you play a lot of, what's the Gran Turismo?
And I'm shockingly still so bad at it.
I have never gotten into those games just because it's like my cars can't shoot missiles. Like, I'm much more of a...
Well, and that's the thing with these games compared to, like, I used to really enjoy the Need for Speed franchise.
Okay.
Particularly Need for Speed Most Wanted is one of my favorite games.
Okay.
But those are very arcadey. Like, yeah. You are not worried about losing traction and, like, no. you don't have to hit the brakes, basically. You just go, like, you know, hold down the gas and just, you know, point where you want to go.
Yeah.
But here you're actually having to, like, you know, hit the brakes, like,
how
manage the traction of your car. Like, when it rains, it's so hard to stay on the track.
How do you accelerate, like, with the...
I got pedals.
With the wheel. You have pedals attached to
this wheel.
Yeah,
the wheel's got pedals.
I really just need a photo. Ellie needs to send me a photo of you just doing this.
Yeah.
And
no, it looks really cool, I'm sure. I can't see it from the outside. Yeah.
You'll be in VR. You can't even tell when she's taking photos.
Yeah.
That is something. So you play that in Resident Evil Village in your VR.
Those are the two main ones. Also, No Man's Sky in VR, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds dope.
Yeah. Except for flying... Like, mm-hmm. The process of lifting off the planet is, if you're not used to VR, that'll turn your stomach.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Just, like rotating on an axis, like, you know, as you're taking off is crazy.
Wow. So you've been in a lot of VR.
I have. I'm a big VR guy, which is part of the reason I got the PSVR 2, even though I knew that everyone kind of said it's a doomed...
Yeah,
peripheral.
They're not going to make content for that.
No, but I'd heard really good things about the its implementation with Gran Turismo, and I was like not happy with the TV that I had anyway.
Oh, okay.
So it's like I need to buy some sort of display.
Yeah,
and so I bought that one because basically it's like a lot of people for racing will have like three monitors so they can like see around corners. So it's like. It's expensive, but is it more expensive than three monitors? Not really.
You could just buy a big TV and watch X-Men on it.
I do need to do that anyway, but I have a big TV upstairs. I don't have a big TV downstairs, which is where the racing stuff is.
I see. Ellie doesn't let you play that in the main room.
No, she does not want people to walk into our house and see my racing wheel.
That is a shame. Okay, I believe last we left off, you said you might go watch Zone of Interest. Did you end up doing that?
I must not have, because I don't remember this.
Okay. Well, I was going to segue into the Oscars.
Oh, yes. What did we end up watching?
If you updated your letterbox, that would be a very attainable answer. But it appears you have not.
Well, it's like a mystery now.
Yeah.
I will just, or maybe that's when I went to see American Fiction.
Oh, okay. What did you think of that?
I thought it was really solid.
Yeah, I like that.
Like it's one of those movies that you're never gonna. I'm never gonna be like stopping people to be like, you gotta go see this. This is gonna change everything for you.
Yeah, it is quite good. I had a lot of fun with it, and yeah, just what's his face. Officer Gordon or Commissioner Gordon from The Batman is the main character.
And also it's got, what's his name? Sterling K. Brown. Is that his name?
Yep.
Who was in that really great SNL sketch.
And I believe the Candyman reboot. If we're talking about the same person.
I'm trying to remember what the SNL sketch is. I think it's something about Shrek.
Okay. I haven't seen this, whatever this is. So, you might be referencing an SNL skit in vain.
That's okay. Someone's got to know. It is, yeah. There's some weird, it's basically like a family dinner, and then someone says that they don't know what Shrek is, and he's just like, how could you not know what Shrek is?
That is an insane thing.
Anyway, no need to dwell on that.
Well, now I want to know if this guy was in Candyman. Oh, he's in Black Panther. Who's in Candyman, then?
Now, this is podcasting.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. Never mind. All right. Well, there's someone in the Candyman reboot. I was crossing my wires with Black Panther. What did you think about the... Did you watch the Oscars?
No. Okay. I was not even... I don't even know if I heard who won Best Picture.
Oppenheimer kind of swept, so Oppenheimer won pretty much.
That's probably why I didn't care very much. I probably did hear that, and then I was like, okay.
But Emma Stone was given the Oscar when Lily Gladstone was like favorited or expected to win for Killers of the Flower Moon. A 3.5-hour movie I'm confident you have not seen.
I sure haven't.
And Emma Stone won it for Poor Things. Did you watch Poor Things?
I have not.
Oh, man. Dude, you're slacking on these movies. These are all movies that you would just... You would love Poor Things. You would love... Well, you saw The Holdovers. You would love Zone of Interest, which won Best Foreign Film and Best Sound or Score. One of the two. But yeah, the Emma Stone... And you haven't seen The Curse. So the whole funny thing about that is Emma Stone is playing like this HGTV personality in that show. And she's like building homes and has to like kick out certain people, like Native Americans who are like lived there their whole lives. And she feels bad about it. So she will like pay like this Native American guy with all these tattoos to like be a security guard, like just to save face at one of her stores. And he just brings a gun there every day, like a huge shotgun, and sits outside. And she's like, ooh, that's not so good. But you, and she doesn't want to change anything because she's too nervous. So the look on her face when she took this award from a Native American, like you could tell, like life imitates art. It was truly wild. And if you had seen all the references to this moment in real life, I think you would get a kick out of it. But you haven't, so here we are.
Whoosh. Right over my head.
Right over your head. Like a raindrop in a VR simulated Gran Turismo game. I get an X-Men 97 Marvel. The other reason we're doing this is Marvel really hasn't put out any content because they're kind of taking a year off to get situated with all the negative reviews of the Marvels and Quantumania.
So I think that's released... a smart move.
Yeah, hopefully. Although they're editing these movies, and I'm curious, like, would Eternals have gotten made if that was the next slotted movie post Quantumania and post the Marvels? Do you think Eternals would get pushed back a year, or do you think that would come out a finished Eternals movie?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it has good qualities, but it is not what they're looking for right now, I don't think.
And that's why I'm saying maybe the Captain America 4 that was supposed to come out in May is what I wanted to see, and maybe they're going to dumb it down for idiots, but I don't know. We're gonna have to find out. In February, last year I had 3 Marvel movies, and now I have 1. Now we resorted to watching old Marvel content, i.e. the X-Men franchise. X-Men 97, the animated cartoon, came out. I imagine you have not watched that.
No.
It looks spectacular. The animation is wonderful. It's really fun. Probably won't cover it on this show because it's not really MCU canon. But I highly recommend watching it. It is a great continuation of the Saturday morning cartoon. My only qualm with it is they don't air it on Saturday mornings. They air it on, like, Wednesday nights. And I think it would get a lot more views if they aired it on Saturday mornings. Who's watching an X-Men cartoon at 9 p.m.?
Have you watched the new season of Invincible?
Yes, I have not watched the most recent episode, but I have watched most of the new season.
Okay. I have not started it, really. I started watching the first episode, but I've not gotten to the rest of it.
Because they did the first half. and then they took a 2-month break for some reason. So they did 4 episodes and then waited 2.5 months.
Ah, see, I only just recently saw that it had come back at all. So okay. I watched the first episode of season 2.
What a frustrating mid-season break. To do 4 episodes and then take a break for 2.5 months. After waiting 2 years for season 2.
Yeah.
I feel like the show just lost all steam. And people have, like, they were really talking about it for the first 4 episodes, then everyone forgot about it, and now I hear no one talking about it now that it's back.
Yeah, that's not a very good way to keep the hype high.
No, it seemed like a really dumb corporate decision. Any other media content you'd like to discuss? Or
have you listened to this new Beyonce album? Or at least Blackbird?
I have not listened to Blackbird. Everyone is saying that it is the end-all, be-all version of Blackbird.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's solid.
Should we listen to it now on the pod?
You can.
30 yeah. seconds.
Yeah, go pull it up.
Beyonce. Actually, I guess I'll do Blackbird. Do you think it's... Is she even on Spotify?
Yeah. The more interesting cover on it, though, is Jolene. Because she takes...
all covers?
No. But Jolene, she changes the lyrics. Blackbird singing
in the dead of night. This is just the same song.
It's the same instrumental. Like, they didn't even re-record the instrumental.
What? She's just singing over it?
Yeah.
It says Britney Spears is featured on this.
I didn't know that. So you got these additional harmonies and stuff.
Yeah. That's all fine. What? But they used the same guitar?
Yeah, I don't know check. How I feel about I mean, this. It sounds exactly the same.
It does. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Yeah, that's all well and good. You know how I feel about my Beatles covers.
It is rare that you get one that really elevates, and I'm not sure this is one.
I'm also
that is truly new.
That one is not one of my favorite Beatles songs, as we have found out in ranking the White Album.
Right.
But yeah, good for her. That's I hope this won't happen, but I hope that more people listen to the Beatles by being subjected to modern day pop stars playing their songs.
Well, and just to circle back on that Jolene thing, she changes the lyrics to be about, I guess, whatever infidelity there had been in the past with her and Jay-Z.
Ah.
So it's like it's not her just redoing Jolene. Like this really is her doing Blackbird, adding some harmonies. But otherwise, like, sticking to
the
it.
The same song.
But Jolene, she really, like... it. Like, the very first thing is, instead of, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Yeah.
It's, I'm warning you not to take my man. So it's like a more aggressive twist on Jolene.
Wow. That sounds more interesting than Blackbird.
Yeah. I think the Texas Hold'em song's pretty good, and 16 Carriages... is pretty cool, which is enough.
Is this a cover album? Or,
those two are originals.
Okay, I see. Neat. Didn't realize you were such a Beyonce fan. What is your favorite Springsteen record after completing the podcast?
The River.
We were both listening to. That's such a Jordan answer.
What's yours?
Mine is, and this is a very Cade answer. Definitely. Born in the USA.
I mean, I could see myself saying that one too. I also really like his first record, which also feels like a Jordan opinion to me.
Yeah, that is a very Jordan opinion. No one listens to his first record.
I just like the weird overly verbose thing that he's doing on that.
He is being a real Bob Dylan there.
Yeah.
I also really liked, it's funny, a friend of the show, Joey Bunn, was my roommate throughout college and just his biggest Bruce Springsteen fan. And he gave me most of the discography. Like I had 70% of Bruce's albums and I assumed that I had all of them because Joey was such a big fan. Mm-hmm. But after listening to this podcast, I realized I only had like 70% of them and I didn't have Magic, the modern one, which is probably my second favorite album.
Now that's a Kate opinion.
That is a modern rock epic, and yeah. I love it, and I can't believe it has been hidden from me for all of these years.
I really like Girls in the Summer, Their Summer Clothes, which I think is on that one.
Yeah, that's a good song. That whole album rocks. But yeah, good content.
But The River, now that is a banger.
I also didn't really care about Tunnel of Love. Everyone loves Tunnel of Love. I don't really get the appeal of that.
But the River at some parts is like jangle pop. Like The Ties That Bind. I don't know. Maybe not that one. I'm trying to think of... I haven't listened to it in a little while. But there are some stuff on there that I'm like, wow, I'm surprised this is Bruce Springsteen. Like, this is so fun and fast. Like, it's not a moody ballad or anything like that. Also, in defense of his moody ballads, I also really like Nebraska.
Yeah.
But mostly because of Atlantic City. I love Atlantic City. That's one of my favorite songs kind of ever.
Atlantic City is a tough one to beat.
Yeah.
My personal favorite of his songs is the live MTV plugged-in version of I Wish I Were Blind.
Hmm.
It is an electric version of that song. I highly recommend listening to it.
And which track was it?
It's called I Wish I Were Blind, which is off either Lucky Town or Human Touch, one of the two that he released on the same day.
Hmm.
And that song, the studio version of that song is fine.
It's
a fine melody, but this live version is just like one of my favorite live performances of a song ever.
Yeah, there's some times when an artist experiments with a studio version that's perfect, and then they change it, and you're like, why would you do that? That sucks.
Yeah.
But sometimes the opposite happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly exactly. It's when they speed it up. I feel like when you slow something down for a live performance, that's normally a bad sign. But when you speed it up for a live performance,
I think keeps the same tempo pretty much throughout, because it's a slow song. It is just shocking. And you might think the opposite. You might prefer the acoustic kind of subtle version, but the electric guitar version of I Wish I Were Blind off MTV Plugged. You have to listen to that specific record.
I've got it up right here.
Great. Rules. Should we talk about X-Men now?
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay. So this is... I'm trying to remember what we did for our Blade and Spider-Man franchise. So we don't really need to properly rank these or put them on the spreadsheet because they're not MCU content.
Right.
I will go ahead and just start off by giving my Letterboxd review 4 out of 5 stars. I love this movie. I watched this movie at the perfect time for the first time in 7th grade. And I truly loved this movie and was just like addicted to X-Men moving forward. I remember I showed all of my childhood friends. It just ruled. So good. What did you think on first watch?
So my first impression out of the gate was just how like everything in Marvel today.
Yes.
They so quickly default to using CGI.
Yep.
Even in places it feels like, is it even saving them that much money?
Yeah.
Like, so you start with this... the concentration camp scene.
Yep.
That's real, like, muddy, and you got, like... I'm pretty sure it's, like, raining in that sequence, too.
It is, yes.
And it all just, like... I don't know, has that, like, a sense of... Oh, there's a word for this, but, like, believability and realness, because they just actually built this place. They put actors there. They put them in costumes that they would actually have been wearing. And then they just, filmed it, which feels like it shouldn't be a crazy thing to do, but it does feel like they would have somehow, it would have come off less authentic if Marvel was going to do the same thing now. I also feel like they might just not do the same thing now because it feels, even this feels, it's like a little weird to start what turns out to be a fairly campy superhero movie with some Holocaust stuff. So
I think it's very useful. I don't know how you do Magneto today, though. Like, if they reintroduce the character just because...
He'd have to be so old?
I know. He's like 1,000 years old because now, I mean, the Holocaust back in the day, you could be a child and it's filmed in the 90s and he's old. So that makes sense. He's like a 60-whatever-year-old man. But it is his motivation, and I think it is an excellent tool. You know enough background about World War II to understand, like, right. Oh, this is why he wants to kill everybody. I get it. And his whole angle with the mutants, like, he feels as if mankind is trying to commit another genocide against him and his people. And Professor X is trying to prevent that from happening and say, we're all on the same side. We share the planet. Let's all be good guys together.
Okay, the word that I was looking for when describing this lack of CGI,
yeah,
is, oh, I'm going to pronounce this bad, but verisimilitude?
Yeah. I've heard this word. I also don't know
how to pronounce it. Verisimilitude is how Google said.
Okay.
Verisimilitude.
Verisimilitude.
And but like there's like a tactileness to a lot of this movie that I would say also occurs in the earliest Marvel movies, like Iron Man 1, like really just Phase 1. I think even by the time you get to Phase 2, you're starting to lose this. But where like they actually had props, like there would be an Iron Man suit that Tony could interact with. It's not like the one he was wearing, but like they built one that would exist in real space with him.
Yeah. Now it's much easier to do CGI.
Yeah, but I'd say this movie, even though when they do have to do effects, obviously the effects are worse. I feel like somehow that doesn't really detract from it because you've built this immersion already. Yeah,
yeah, it's very of its time. So Raimi Spider-Man had not come out yet. Blade had come out, but comic book movies hadn't really taken over. There was that auction in the 90s when Marvel Studios went bankrupt, or was about to go bankrupt, and they sold off their IP for movies, and Sony paid, I think, $20 million for Spider-Man or something. Something along those lines.
Crazy.
And they were like, we'll give you the rest of the heroes at a discount, and they're like, no one's going to watch the rest.
Yeah.
boy, is egg on that guy's face. And then Fox bought the X-Men, and then Marvel Studios just, I think, like, resorted under Paramount when they ended up doing Avengers stuff. But the X-Men always seemed like a fun franchise, and it was one of the more popular comic books. And it's just an ensemble at the start. Like, you don't need to set up, like, a whole bunch of movies before all your heroes can interact. There are all these interesting heroes with character development happening simultaneously. Always been a big X-Men fan.
After the concentration camp, then we go to a kind of Civil War-esque political thing that's happening between wanting to register the mutants or not.
Which side are you on?
I mean, obviously not the side of that senator who turns into a jellyfish.
Senator Trump.
And I think that sequence is all good, and it's an interesting way to start this.
Yeah.
They do a couple little vignettes to start with, because they do the Nazi...
They have a lot to set up in this world. There's a lot of world building for you to understand where all these sides are coming from, because they have coexisted for years, and Professor X and Magneto, and then they do a whole bunch of, like, prequels that we don't need to, like, explain their relationship.
Yeah, I think somehow it's paced really well. Like, I think even though you're going through all of these different things... You're on them for just long enough to set them up, and then you move on to the next thing. So you set up what that conflict is going to be with the mutants. Yeah. Then you go to where Rogue is.
Yep.
And that's shot with
her boyfriend.
Really, like, it looks gorgeous. Like, that sepia tone. Like, it looks like this was made by people that want to be filmmakers.
Bryan Singer at a time did, and then he made Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. See, that's crazy. Because this is shot like someone who really is like wanting to make a real movie.
I will say, aside from his heinous public personality and legal troubles, for these first two X-Men movies, and then he left and they had Brett Ratner do the third who, and the third sucks, but it's like, it's kind of fun bad. And Frasier plays Beast. We have to watch it for this podcast. Mm. He comes back to do Days of Future Past, and it is such a return to form to these two movies 10 years later. Mm. Like, it is a love letter. It is the end of the trilogy that we wanted the whole time. Love that movie. And I think these two are... I like both of these better than any of the Raimi Spider-Man, I will say.
Wow. I mean, I think the nostalgia is not going to prevent me from agreeing, but...
Maybe Spider-Man 1, because I think Spider-Man 2 is not as good as Spider-Man 1, as I've mentioned on this show. Spider-Man 1 might be as good as X-Men 1, but X2 I like better than any other Raimi Spider-Man. That is a hot take that I'm sure I will get flack for, but I stand by it. Really good. Hmm. So, Rogue makes out with her boyfriend. She nearly kills him. And just also, like, the reaction from the parents, too. Like, you just really... You're put in the shoes of so many people. Like, first you get Magneto's perspective, then you get Professor X's perspective, and then you get Rogue's perspective, and then on to Wolverine, who is kind of just, like, the main character for the rest of the movie.
Right, and I forgot to actually mention the interaction between Professor Xavier and Magneto right there at the beginning after the Senate hearing.
Yep.
Like, how much does it elevate these to have those two actors in these roles?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of crazy.
It is like truly insane.
Like, it feels like this should be, I don't know. Like, they're just, like, such, like, Shakespearean, like, they bring such gravitas to these roles. It's like, you almost forget that this is X-Men.
It's so good. Such good casting. And Patrick Stewart is just, like, Ian McKellen is as well, but they are just, like, specifically Patrick, Professor X, Patrick Xavier. he is in, like, all of these movies in one way, shape, or form. Mm. Ian McKellen is in most of them, but this guy is really Professor X at this point.
Well, and he's like the level of iconic character to actor connection, like Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool, or like J. Jonah Jameson and J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's just like, casting. Yeah, a perfect fit.
A perfect casting. They were really, and so that's a good segue into when Wolverine was cast, Hugh Jackman. This was the early stages of the internet, but the internet just rebelled. They were like, he is a short man. Like, mm-hmm. Wolverine is supposed to be short and angry, and Hugh Jackman is a tall Australian. It will never work.
Yeah.
Boy, were they wrong. Kind of like the Heath Ledger effect for the Joker as well.
I will say, I do agree still with that, I don't know, that sentiment about the casting. Like, it does seem like he does need to be like a kind of, you know, angry small man to be Wolverine.
So the other thing you need to think about these movies, and especially after watching X-Men 97, in the comics, Cyclops is the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the main guy and the protagonist. In this movie, and this franchise, really, they kind of just cuck him, and Wolverine is like Mr. Steal Yo Girl, and also just the cool guy that everyone wants to be, riding his motorcycle, smoking cigars. And Cyclops is just kind of like, it is his team, technically, and he's still the leader of the X-Men, but Wolverine's like, I'll do my own thing, I don't give a shit. And everyone's like, he's so cool for saying that.
Yeah.
And does kind of make a joke of Cyclops as a character, whereas the show has never made Cyclops look cooler. And I hope when the MCU takes on X-Men, they actually focus... Because Wolverine, in the comics, is just like a side guy who eventually joins the X-Men.
Right.
But it's not his team.
No, weirdly...
He's the lead.
They make Cyclops like he's the establishment for Wolverine to rebel against. Yep, like
exactly.
The crusty old Dean.
He is the crusty old Dean. And just how he has like this attractive girlfriend. I just love their banter too with the whole in the Statue of Liberty. Say something only you would say. You're a dick. Like, that's just good shenanigans.
And they do give him a moment there at the end. In that fight to, like, you know, make that shot or whatever to...
Yeah.
So yeah, they give him kind of stuff to do, but you're right. They do. They don't make him cool. The kids watching this movie aren't like, I want to be Cyclops. No, you want to have claw hands and be Wolverine. Yeah.
You certainly want claw hands.
Yeah.
Every kid watching this movie wants claw hands.
There was a old YouTube skit where it's basically like they go to the they like basically go to a surgeon who can give them one superpower, and the guy goes, well, I want Wolverine's powers. And then the doctor goes, well, that's actually two powers, the claws and the healing. Which one do you want? I can only give you one. And so then they go for the claws, and then the rest of the skit is just like them like in so much pain as the claws go in and out, and they get bloodier and bloodier and freak out. Like, that's... we chose wrong. We chose so wrong.
That is a really good bit.
Yeah.
That's also like the first shot of his claws coming out, like, also looks practical. Like, they actually show it coming out of the skin, which later on, I think it's just CGI or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if it's... them coming out of the skin is certainly not practical for the entire franchise. They really CGI it fast whenever they can.
Yeah. But yeah, so then you go to there's like that bar scene where you're first introduced to Logan.
We are in Canada, and Rogue has run away from home out of fear of facing persecution from her parents. And she befriends Logan, who is... I mean, just that iconic shot, knowing, like, rewatching this movie after seeing Logan, like, the movie, or watching his career for 20 years, seeing him in the pin, or the wrestling pin, like, go against that other guy, and you just, all of the shots are away from his face, and you don't see his face until kind of the end of that sequence, you're just like, what an amazing introduction to a character. Like, it's as if they knew he was about to have, like, a 20-year run.
Yeah, and so they do a good job introducing him, making him seem super badass. And then you also set up the conflict again between mutants and normal folks who were like, they basically figure out he's a mutant because he's doing so well in his bar fight cage matches that they threaten him with a gun. And then they run away, or he leaves, and Rogue tags along with him. And then that's where you start to get, like, he's a tough exterior, but kind of soft on the inside, because he does end up letting her come with him.
Yeah.
He's
a sweetheart on the inside.
And then,
but he's a Wolverine on the outside.
But then they crash, and he goes flying in a way that's mostly, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, but the way he goes, like, careening into the ground is pretty funny.
Well, and he also, like, just never wears a seat. Why would you wear a seat?
Yeah,
if like, you're Wolverine. Would you, if you had healing powers?
Just to be a good example to those around me, I would.
And then Sabretooth or is it just Sabretooth?
I think it's just Sabretooth.
Okay,
and
Sabretooth shows up.
That's an interesting character design in this movie. I feel like that looks a little dated. Just something about the way his aesthetic turned out is... like almost like maybe too comic booky, like too true to the source, where you could have maybe toned down... like his weirdly long eyebrows.
They have and in the comics, like, him and Wolverine are rivals, like, throughout their legacy together or whatever. And in X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is the movie I have not seen in the longest time because I remember it being bad, and I imagine if I watch it when I love all of these, like, it will be bad with my filmmaker brain. It will be even worse. But Liev Schreiber plays Sabretooth, and he and Logan, like, grow up together, and then Liev Schreiber betrays Hugh Jackman. This person is clearly not Liev Schreiber, and this Sabretooth is only in this movie, and then I think he dies.
Okay.
But it is weird for them to make, you know, X-Men Origins shouldn't be canon for a lot of reasons, but it's weird that they have apparently met before and were basically raised together, and now he's just, like, you know, hanging out.
Yeah, they don't register any familiarity in this scene.
There is zero. And then they do kind of, at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine, to just save face with the future stuff. This movie sucks so bad. they mind wipe Logan, so he doesn't remember anything from the events of that movie, so he can come across these people as if it is the first time.
Well, that's true. He does have, like, amnesia in this movie. He doesn't remember what has happened to him.
Yes.
So that's why I guess he wouldn't recognize. But still, yeah, anyway. The other thing that happens is, so then after they crash, after this fight happens, Cyclops and Storm show up to save them. And I feel like here is where you probably should have set up Cyclops as, like, a really cool guy that everyone wants to be.
Yeah.
But my memory, having just watched it, is that it feels like they just kind of save him in, like, 2 seconds, and then they take him back to headquarters.
Very quick.
But if you'd had more of a struggle there and got to show off why his neat laser eyes are so cool, I think...
I could totally envision that being filmed, and then some studio exec was like, this movie's not about Cyclops, he's a square, make it about Wolverine.
Yeah.
And then they cut that entire sequence.
That's definitely how it feels.
Because it also, this movie is short. This is like 100 minutes, right?
Yeah, 104.
Oh my god. Do you remember a time when superhero movies were that short? I mean, it's for the better, they're super long now, but...
Yeah.
But for Jordan's dollar, he probably prefers the short
one. Oh, absolutely. And so then they go to Hogwarts. Or maybe, what's that superhero high school movie from Disney Channel? Sky High, yeah.
So what do you think of Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Children?
Honestly, I kind of wish I saw more of it. Because I like...
You do in the second one.
Okay, I like the setting. Like, just having all these people testing out their superpowers, trying to get them. Like, I almost wanted to hang out with that a little longer, because really that's just a setting for all of this other stuff to happen. You don't really engage with it in this movie.
Do you know how much I begged my parents to send me to Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Children when I was 13?
Yeah.
Watching this movie. And, like, the kids in there, like, the one has, like, the note-taking power where he just holds his hand over the page.
Yeah.
That was so relevant to me as a 13-year-old. Like, I hate taking notes. I wish I had that.
Yeah.
This movie was aimed at 13-year-olds.
Now, you just get, like, a little taste of that, though. Like, they kind of give you a montage where you see some stuff. You see a little of Rogue interacting with it, but not a lot.
But it is real, and they do more of it in the second one. Like, you spend a little more time at the school. Not, like, an entire movie set at the school, but it is quite fun.
Yeah.
I just love the design. Like, it just seems so comfortable. It's like a fun college dorm that's also this mansion where you have classes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rules. Love it.
So...
Big fan.
Let's see.
And then Wolverine wakes up and Jean Grey is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, where am I? What are you doing? And then... I believe Professor X reads his mind or whatever, projects into his brain.
Right.
And there he's like explaining, we're the X-Men. And Wolverine's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And what do they call you, Wheels? A classic 2000s joke.
Yeah.
Classic.
And they're immediately playing off the relationship between Wolverine and Jean Grey as romantic.
Yes.
A love triangle.
Yeah.
Within seconds.
I love the, whenever they all go to bed and Wolverine's talking to, and they set up the relationship with him and Scott as adversarial, like off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably, those two relationships go hand in hand. But he's like, you can tell me to stay away from your girl. Well, if I had to tell you that, she wouldn't be my girl.
Yeah.
Oh, and Logan, stay away from my girl. Just really good. Really good banter. They have such good chemistry together. Yeah, love all that. And then they show them Cerebro. Do they explain Cerebro at that point?
The big room?
Later? Yes, the room where you can see all mutants. Which is huge in X-Men canon. Like, that's a big part of the lore. So you kind of gotta have a Cerebro in your movie, even if you don't really use it that much.
Mm-hmm.
That would have left fans devastated if you cut that out. And then, if I'm not skipping ahead too much, Mystique disguises herself as Iceman, Rogue's love interest, and tells her that she is not wanted at the school, and she should leave, so she runs away again, and then Mystique goes into Cerebro and makes the machine hurt Professor X, basically, whenever he uses it.
Which, talking about verisimilitude, the costume they give Mystique is amazing.
It's just a bodysuit.
I actually saw like a making of for this. It's like a series of
you're really doing your homework.
Yeah, this was really tough to watch. But it's like a series of different like latex body pieces and then some body paint between them. So it's not even just a bodysuit. Like it is a combination of these. And that's why I think later it's simpler. Because I saw some pictures of Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique. And
it's just CGI.
Well, and the details are just way less. But like the fact that they actually made all of these like... I mean, it's almost like a very fancy version of like the Star Trek, like how Star Trek would just have like those little prosthetics on like the forehead or whatever to make the alien races. It's like they actually made all of these pieces, and these look really good. Like this is about as good as those kind of, you know, prop costume stuff could look. But it took 8 hours a day to put her in this makeup.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, they must have filmed so many of her scenes like back to back to back. Like you'd have to schedule around. Because how many days can you afford 8 hours of makeup on this person?
I mean, that's probably... Because she's not even one of your big-name actors.
Right. Well, I'm not saying afford is in terms of paying her. I'm saying afford is in terms of days of your shooting schedule that you're paying all these people to put her in the makeup. And then, like, I'm sure she can't stay in the makeup that long. Cheap. I'm saying time is the expense that they'd probably want to minimize.
I suppose, but it looks great, and I'm glad that they did it that way.
Yeah, no, it looks phenomenal. And again, the fact that it's like they're really just shooting, like that's what she looks like. Yeah. Like if you were to see her in that costume in real life, there's no additional stuff that's being done to enhance it. They're just shooting it through the camera, just like everything else.
Movies, what a fine filmmaking art.
Yeah.
That is all CGI now.
It's all but, CGI.
You know, that's not the end of the world. There's still some good stuff.
I wonder what I would do. Because, like I said, it is a pain to have to put an actor through 8 hours of makeup for a day of shooting. Yeah. So, I wonder if there's a way to maximize your value. Like, maybe just do her head or above her collarbones or something. So that way, when you're in the close-ups, it seems really real. But that way, you save and not having to do head-to-toe makeup.
Well, the other convenient thing is she's a shapeshifter, so they don't have to show her like that often.
That's true.
So, in a lot of her scenes, she's playing a different actor.
Or they also, occasionally, they'll kind of silhouette her, and I'm sure that's to get away with doing less makeup. There's that sequence where, I think we're coming up on it, where they've kidnapped the senator, and they use this... force field of radiation to turn him into a mutant. During that sequence, for the most of it, she's standing way in the back with like a light behind her, so you can't actually see her, which is a good way to not have to actually put her in that makeup.
And I mean, again, this movie is short. The next one's longer, and I imagine they use the same practical effects, so I'm curious, because she is in it more, I'm pretty sure.
One CGI effect...
Maybe she's in it the same amount.
CGI effect that I do think looks good is when Senator Kelly, after he's turned into this weird jellyfish, is trying to escape and he's pressing his face through the bars.
Yeah.
That looks good. Like, I mean, okay. I think it maybe could look better now, but I thought like the effect still really works. I think later some of like when he's more of a jellyfish man.
Yeah, when that he gets melts a little, into the puddle, that looks a little dated.
But just that weird like face stretching thing that he does.
Which this is 3 years after Terminator 2, which is like there's that identical scene where the T-2000 or whatever is like pushing his face through the bars and like trying to melt his way through like iron rods, like a jail cell. Very similar effect and looks, I guess they just already had the face bending technology in the can ready to go.
Let me just put on the face bend filter.
Let me borrow James Cameron's studio. This is funny. I'm on the Wikipedia page looking at it. It says release dates, July 14, United States, release date, July 12th, Ellis Island.
Yes. They had some sort of special promotion, I guess.
That is amazing. Yeah. Could you imagine? And then, like, they do another promotion, like, during the movie, they just have the Statue of Liberty, like, light up as if they're going to mutate everyone.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And all the nerds in the audience are like, come on, take me. Let's be
I
want to
be a mutant.
I want to be...
I don't care if I die.
I bet a lot of people would choose the mutation.
Like, assuming I don't dissolve into water within 2 days.
Well, that's one of the risks you take. You could get Wolverine powers or you get jellyfish powers.
Yeah. Jellyfish powers are tough. You think he would have done better if he had stayed in the ocean? Or, like, next to the ocean?
We'll never know. He really made it as quickly as possible away from the ocean.
Yeah. I think I might have hung out. Might have just gotten a, you know, set up by the coast if I was him.
That's fair. So you wouldn't, like, in Matrix terms, take the red pill or the blue pill, whichever one it is. You wouldn't take the mutant pill.
I would take the blue pill if that is the ocean pill.
Well, you might not be a jellyfish. I'm saying you get a random mutation. Would you do it? You sign up for Magneto's team. And he's like, we're going to give you a mutation. We don't know what it is. It's going to react to your DNA different than everyone else's.
But there is a risk that I die.
I mean, you'll get a mutation. So if your mutation is like dissolves, if you're not in water, then yes, you would die.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do it for that reason. But I would like, I would do it, you know, if even if that means the power I get is just lame, like I would take that risk.
Like, you have blue hair permanently?
Yeah. You do it? Yeah, it's fine. I could deal with having blue hair. It's not a great mutation.
Blue hair everywhere.
Everywhere.
Permanently.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Like, I mean, because that's worth rolling the dice, because I might get something cool, like, you know, flying.
All right, so you get blue hair. I also rolled the dice. I got telekinesis.
Well, that's really good.
I know. I like it a lot.
I wish there was a place I could go, like... like superpower randomizer. I wonder if that exists. Let's find out.
That must exist. All right, we should do this and find out our mutant powers.
Random superpower generator. Great.
I bet jellyfish isn't on there. I bet like it's all cool stuff. I want one that gives you bad stuff.
All right, I'm gonna so it lets me generate a quantity. So I'm gonna generate two. Okay. And the way we're gonna flip a coin on this is you're gonna say, do you want the top one or the second one?
All right, but I'm going to read your face because you're going to have seen both of them.
No, I'm not generating until you tell me which one you want.
Okay.
Top or bottom?
I'll take the top one.
Okay.
Ooh, the suspense. Drum roll,
honestly,
please.
we did pretty well here. You got control. See, well, actually, these are both powers in this movie.
Sick.
You got controlling weather, so you're Storm.
Yes.
And I got magnetic manipulation, so I'm Magneto.
Wow. Okay. Both really good.
All right.
But that's too good. Roll it.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to a different
one. I want like a bad one. I want there to be like consequences to us accepting the mutant DNA.
Okay. That one had random from the 100 most popular superpowers. This one has thousands of random superpowers.
Great. I love that. Let's hope that one of them's like mediocre.
Oh, so, there's just one button. So then I'm still going to do the top two. Do you still want the top?
Okay.
And I'll do the second?
I'll take the top, yeah. That worked out well for me last time.
All right.
Drum roll, please.
They don't have any additional information.
Jordan is making a face. What do you mean? Well, what does it say?
It says super mentality. I don't know what that is.
It's like very smart?
Or maybe just, like, mentality is...
like... vigor and determination.
Yeah, you have a really good attitude.
Sick. What was yours?
So this says mentality, the sum of a person's intellectual capabilities or endowment. But then it's also quality or state of mind. So that's kind of what I was thinking of it as. But we'll just say you have super smarts. And mine says healing factor, which kind of feels like Wolverine adjacent, but like...
they did these out of thousands?
Yeah. So like the next one is light manipulation. So that's more like what I'm talking about. Light manipulation is weird because that could be useful, but also like it wouldn't give you strength or anything.
Can you manipulate the sun or just like neon lights?
See, I would imagine you would like somehow you could like dim lights, brighten lights, maybe manipulate them to like create holograms.
Yeah, but like, what do you do about the sun? Like, that's a big light.
I think you're very powerful in the sun. I think I feel like the more photons you have access to, the greater your light manipulation is.
Interesting. So you don't think you have to like train really? Like you start with light bulbs and then you have to work your way up to the sun?
Yeah, and you're like you're taking the photons that are in the atmosphere around you, and you're somehow taking those and manipulating them into shapes and stuff.
Okay.
The next one's air manipulation, which that's so like pretty brutal though. I could just like suck the air out of your lungs.
Did they do that in the Avatar show?
He
is an airbender.
At one point, they do waterbend someone's blood to move them around. Yeah, that's crazy. They never really do that again. That's like one episode. And then they're like, don't know if we should have opened this door.
Seems like a useful power.
Yeah. The fifth one is understand all languages.
See, that's like one that I'm talking about that is just, you could do that in real life. That is kind of like, not as cool as being a human torch or something. Like, that is a power that you could get
this
stuck
one's pretty
with.
Lame. Danger warning. You couldn't do much with that, but I guess I think it's like Spidey sense. So I guess if you became a martial artist, you could be like the best because you would know where all the punches and stuff are coming from.
Can you warn people about like 9/11?
I wonder. Then that we have super learning, speaking with the dead, insect control. And then speaking insect with the dead control. Again, for some reason. I love insect would control. I would totally have that superpower. I have an army of ants.
Yeah, well, that's just Ant-Man.
That's true. But you could have all the other ones, too.
I know, like spiders. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't be scared of spiders because they have to do everything I say.
Yeah.
That would be...
And you could assassinate people so well. Just send a Black Widow crawling through their threshold.
Well, that's just Black Widow's power.
All right. This is... I clicked it again. Bone claws. It's
sick.
Time pause. That's a great one.
Love time that's pause. Huge. Yeah, time pause is huge.
Oh, I would take so many naps with time pause.
Wouldn't you get lonely? Like, how much time are you spent? I guess you could resume time
I'm just going in and out.
Yeah, time pause would be huge. You would never have to sleep.
No. Yeah, you get
like in public eye. You'd have to sleep off camera.
I guess it depends. Am I aging when time is paused? Because then if I'm sleeping outside of time, I would be aging faster.
I imagine you would age because you're experiencing time in real time and they're not.
Yeah, so that would like shorten my lifespan by 20 years from the outside, assuming I'm using this multiple hours a day.
Yeah, maybe time's pause is too much power for us to handle.
Self-multiplication, that's a cool one.
Oh, multiple man.
Yeah.
He's an X-Men in X3, The Last Stand.
This one, I don't know what they mean. Evil projections.
Like, I don't know, like nightmare visions kind of deal?
Yeah, but like, what? Are they evil to me? Like, I'm making the projection.
Yeah, I imagine that to be like Scarecrow and Batman.
Okay. Interesting.
That's my... visual.
But the two powers we got, you got super mentality, so you're just a brainy boy. And then I've got healing, which
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's good, but
do it until we get weird ones.
Well, I think then we have them, because I think I have insect control. And you have...
Oh, you were just reading down... Were you hitting the button again?
It always generates like a list of 10.
Okay.
So I can push it one more, and we're just stuck with whatever the top two are.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, this is going to close the bit. This is what we're about to be enrolled into.
Charles Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters. Yeah,
and this is what we're putting on our applications.
Yes, correct.
Cade, you have Poison Generation.
All right, that's probably good. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that's one that I think you could train to be... something useful.
Yeah. Well, can I like touch people and poison them?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could like secrete poison somehow.
That sounds kind of gross.
It's definitely a little gross, but we didn't get to pick these.
That's kind of what Toad is, right?
Well, he's got a big long tongue too.
Yeah, but he like spits poison.
Yeah.
And he secretes things. Yeah. All right.
So
what's yours?
X-ray vision.
Ah, man.
I don't know. X-ray vision's not that useful.
Yeah, I guess. Like in the,
I can look into a bank vault.
It's so cool. Like in the 70s, they have like, or when you're a teenager, they have all those jokes like the teenagers buy x-ray specs to look at down girls' shirts and stuff. Yeah. Which is less relevant to non-teenagers.
Exactly. Like, x-ray vision would have been very cool when I was 13. A 13-year-old Jordan thing? Would not have used that power responsibly.
I mean, what else do you do? Like, bank vaults?
I could maybe go to Vegas and gamble, become very rich.
Oh, yeah, you could look at the dealer's car. Yeah, that's huge. That is, okay, so you make a lot of money with
that. But, like, this would be, like, one of those powers that you use to gain influence in other ways.
Yes.
Not one that is independently, like, going to make you good at fighting somehow.
Yeah.
I guess I could tell if someone, like, has a gun on them hidden or something like that, too. But
well, I already have danger warning, so you don't need that. Cool. What a fun bit.
Yep. Okay. Poison generation, x-ray vision. We're enrolling tomorrow.
I hope we're roommates. Professor X's School for Gifted Youngsters. Yeah. So they captured the senator. They poisoned Professor X. Professor X doesn't get poisoned until after the huge sequence at the train station, which I think is a great Act 2 or Act 3 reveal leading into whatever the next act is. Where the whole time they set it up, they want Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, and rightfully so. The whole time you're like, he's a badass. Of course they want him. The amount of shocked I was when he approaches Wolverine on the train and says, "Who said I wanted you?" And then just throws him, like, past all the train cars.
Yeah, and admittedly, so Wolverine is super weak to Magneto because of all of the metal on his bones.
I am so excited for you to see, like, the unfolding, the evolution of their fight sequences, because I think they have at least one fight sequence in every movie, just the two of them, and it's always, like, Magneto's like, what are you gonna do, bitch? Yeah. but the Days of Future Past one is super, super good, because that's the whole time you're like, how does this evolve? Like, it's great. I can't stress how fun that is. Also Wolverine goes to the train to find Rogue and comforts her, doing like another like father-daughter relationship kind of thing. Really tender moment between the two. Magneto comes in. Professor X, when Magneto and Sabretooth are leaving with the kidnapped Rogue, gets to use his super cool power where he can control minds of everyone around him. except Magneto, because he has the special helmet on.
Right.
He built that helmet.
His tinfoil hat.
Yes, his tinfoil hat protects him. Which is such like a 60s design when these characters were made. It's like, I'm wearing a tinfoil hat so you can't read my mind.
Have you seen, this is like from the really old X-Men cartoon, and it's Magneto. I can't remember which X-Men he's fighting. It's like Cyclops or something.
Okay.
And he pulls a gun on Magneto, and then Magneto tries to use his magnet powers on it, and it won't move. And he goes, "Oh no, how did you steal my powers? How did you steal my powers?" And then the cops come and arrest him. And then he goes, "Ah, it turns out the gun was made of wood. I just painted it to look like a normal gun." And Magneto goes, it just is taken to prison. Even though now he does have his powers. Like, he never lost his powers. He just thought he did for like 30 seconds, and he panicked and let himself be taken to jail. Even though now he could pick up like all the cop cars. It doesn't make any sense.
He gets smarter as the comics go on.
Yeah.
That is such like a McDonald's cartoon strip or whatever, like a Sunday morning paper, like Magneto foiled again.
Yeah.
I really like the sequence too, like, because Professor X is controlling he's controlling Sabretooth. And then Magneto takes all of the cops' guns and points them at him, which is like a super menacing, like, you're scared of this guy. Like, what a cool power and something to be frightened of. He flips the cars. Like, another good practical effect. They just, like, destroyed police cars in real life.
Yeah.
Well, really cool.
No, that definitely, all of that sequence would have been super CGI and lame. But nope, they just somehow picked up cars and then dropped them.
Yeah. Really cool. Very cool effect. And then Magneto gets away. He lets the humans live, but he takes Rogue. Professor X goes back to Cerebro to try and find him, but he finds out it's been tampered with. This is kind of a smart way to nerf your most valuable player, or at least take him out of the running, because, you know, he can just mind control all of the whole. You could just constantly say, like, why didn't Professor X show up to the Statue of Liberty and just mind control right. everyone? Because he got poisoned by Mystique.
Yeah, it's kind of the Captain Marvel solution.
Yes. How do we get rid of this all-powerful character? Yeah. And then we go to... So there's a bit of a falling action. What do you think about the jumpsuits? Because they wanted to get rid of the classic X-Men costumes because they thought they looked dorky and wouldn't hold up in a modern audience.
Yeah, they're almost too bland. I think maybe doing stylized versions of their, you know, kind of like Marvel does. You know, yeah. Like, it's like you see the original design there, but then you've kind of made it less cartoony and added some reasons to the suit.
They do get more stylized as the movies go on.
Yeah. They kind of look like the Fantastic Four.
A little bit.
The same costume.
This is coming off the success of The Matrix, so they're like, the costume designers, what's cool? Black trench coats. Let's just give them jumpsuits. I will say, as a 13-year-old, I wanted one of these X-Men jumpsuits so bad.
Yeah, they're not terrible. Just like, they're just fine.
They look, I don't know, they just look stylish to me. But what do I know? I buy all my clothes at concerts. So they all get on the X-Jet. Professor X is on the mend. Magneto has unveiled his plan to Rogue, that he is going to poison everyone. I guess we've kind of touched on Senator Kelly came to the X-Mansion to hang out and be like, Magneto tricked me. And then he melts in front of Storm or Jean Grey. And then they all realize the plan and go to the Statue of Liberty.
Also, is he dead X-Jet. Or is he going to come back? Because I know he turns to water, but...
He is very dead.
Okay. She just says again. He's dead, but I'm like, couldn't he just turn to water? Couldn't that be part of his power? I don't know.
I mean, it looks... But then he probably doesn't know how to, you know...
Undo that.
Get water back together, yeah. He's just like droplets of water, and then he evaporates. I think it's also implied that Magneto's machine doesn't work 100% as well that he wants it to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The X-Men are for sure under the impression that it will kill everyone who gets a power.
Yes, which rightfully so. It 100% accurate so far.
Yeah, one for one.
What do you think about the... what's the word? Like, the set... the set of having this whole thing happen, like not a lot of government meetings happen on the Statue of Liberty lawn, but the set piece of that happening and having the fight on the Statue of Liberty, like what do you think about all
that? Yeah, I mean, I think the fight at the Statue of Liberty is cool.
Yeah, I love it.
And I thought, like I said, giving Cyclops kind of a moment where he gets to do something badass is good, but mostly it's the Wolverine show still.
Yes. 100%.
That moment where he's flying by one of the like prongs of.
Yes, I was just about to bring that up, and he swings around. So cool. Yeah. That was like the trailer shot. Like people were watching that on TV and movie trailers, and like I gotta check out this fucking movie.
Yeah.
So they fight Toad, Sabretooth, and Mystique while they get their way to the top. Also, this is filmed pre-9/11. Like, I'm sure there's just so much more security in this place now. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looks like a museum, basically, with one metal detector that Wolverine sets off.
Yeah, and these fights are pretty cool. I'd say Toad is a little lame. I didn't love him.
Probably the most mocked line in this movie is Storm saying, what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everyone else, everything else. I don't know. I kind of like the power dynamic of Sabretooth, Mystique, and Toad. Is it just Toad and Mystique downstairs, and then Sabretooth is upstairs with Magneto? Or is... Yeah, because Sabretooth isn't fighting. It's Toad, And Toad does the thing where he spits acid or whatever on Jean Grey's face where she can't breathe.
Yeah, and Cyclops has to shoot it off.
Yeah, with a laser beam. Seems
and
pretty
perfectly
deadly.
Vaporizes it. I guess he's just got that control.
I just love... So compared to modern MCU movies, with the first one specifically, is that we have the mirror matchup. It's the hero versus the same type of villain that the hero is. This is so many different powers all fighting at the same time. And I love that. So even if Toad isn't like one of the cooler ones, and Mystique, like all she can do is shapeshift, she is still using her powers like so well in this fight.
Right.
And tricking them into like mind manipulation, basically.
No, and
just
I do
like,
think
don't kill me.
That's what's cool about having a variety of powers is like... So if we were trying to have you and me our poison and X-ray vision, it's like how am I using X-ray vision in this fight to get an advantage? I guess I'm keeping track of where everyone is, and then I can communicate that to the people with poison powers, such as yourself.
Yep, and then I'll just be like, okay, I'm going to drop a whole bunch of poison on the second floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we could do this.
You could vaporize your poison into the AC unit and just fumigate the whole building.
Hey, it's my power. It's not yours. Don't tell me how to do
it. All I'm saying is I have X-ray vision. I can see like where a good duct is.
The ducts. Yeah. I enjoy this fight sequence quite a bit just because, again, the diverse powers. And then Wolverine smells out Mystique, stabs her. Toad is struck by lightning.
Yeah. And here is, of course, where like you're seeing the age of the film and the effects. But I think they mostly... Like, I don't find them distracting at all. Like, they do look older,
I think,
but it's kind of charming because it's, like, been long enough that it's become nostalgic, these kind of effects.
Yeah, I do think they really hold up comparatively. Wow, and this movie cost $75 million. Hmm. And it holds up better than a lot of, I would say, half of the MCU movies.
Yeah, I mean, there's some rough sequences in... I don't know, Quantumania, or even like...
Quantumania wasn't the one I was throwing under the bus.
Spider-Man Far From Home. I remember there being some weird CGI in that movie.
That's just like the Elementals at the very beginning. But I think that works because it turns out they're drones, and that's what it would look like. Like, if it was an actual Elemental, you'd be like, this is shoddy CGI. But the fact that it's a room full of nerds trying to make people believe... It's Elementals. I think that makes that sequence a lot better.
Hmm. But Spider-Man believes it.
Spider-Man does. I mean, he's a child.
He's just a little baby boy.
He's just a boy. So then Magneto basically does what Toad and Mystique tried to do in an hour in like 5 minutes and just uses metal to restrain all of the X-Men. He does that cool thing with Wolverine where he points his claws directly at his chest or at his heart. He takes off Cyclops' visor. Yeah. And everyone is basically just trapped. And then Wolverine, they explain, like, don't do it. You're going to kill everyone. And Wolverine's like, you're so full of shit. If you were really righteous, it would be you up there. Which is a really cool line for the hero of the movie, Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not his team he's fighting with. And then Magneto does the thing, and then Jean Grey levitates. They win by Jean Grey levitating the visor like in front of Scott and pointing it at Magneto.
Wolverine
kills himself first. Yes, Wolverine stabs himself in the chest first and is basically dead for a few minutes, and then you're kind of wondering, now it's like, oh, he's gonna come back to life, but at the time you're wondering, like, we've never seen him die. Yeah. Does he come back after he dies? Of course he does. He's Wolverine. Heals from that, beats Sabretooth, and then they fight Magneto, or they use Cyclops' laser beam.
And then of course you have the triumphant moment when Logan transfers his power to Rogue, even at the risk of his own life, to save her.
Yes.
Because then he truly is vulnerable, because he doesn't have his rejuvenation power as well.
He doesn't have the powers,
while he's weak.
Fortunately, they defeated all the enemies in the room by the time that happened, which is super convenient. And then I believe the movie ends with the chess sequence. Yep. Professor X and Magneto playing chess. in a plastic prison.
Yeah, which they were able to build pretty quickly. Feels like that would have taken a while to have a spot for him to go. Like, where were they holding Magneto when they were building the plastic prison? Or did they just probably have this already set up?
I mean, I like to think they had it set up. Like, one day we're going to catch him. And we need something for him when that happens. Yeah, and there's just, again, these two prestigious actors. Like, through all three of these movies, they have a thing where they constantly play chess with each other. I really love, like, the dynamic of the hero and the villain, like, hanging out in social circumstances. Yeah,
like, they're friends. Like they're ideologically opposites.
Yes.
But they respect each other.
But they do. They grew up together. They grew up friends. And they will always have that bond, even though they're trying to do completely different things. So, Jordan, what do you think of X-Men 1? Are you going to rate it on your Letterboxd right now?
Let's see. I think I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay, that's fair. I give it a 4. X2, I think, is a big step forward as far as blockbuster movie making goes, and you get to see a lot more X-Men, and it's just a better story as well.
But this movie was a lot of fun.
It's very fun, and it's short. It's easy to watch. Yeah. It's a breeze.
And then
all of these movies are 2 hours or less.
Yeah, the only reason it's less than like your score is there is some like some pacing stuff toward the middle where it feels a little, I don't know. Like I kind of just like lost interest for a little bit in it, like where I was very on board at the beginning. And then I do think it comes around by the end, but there's something in that middle that's a little squishy.
The falling action, I will say, when I rewatched it 2 years ago, just when you want them to go chase after Magneto and there's like a 20-minute interval where they don't really know where he is and they're talking to the senator and they're just kind of, you know, waiting. We know we're going to get that last battle, but they just don't connect the steps.
Yeah.
3.5.
3.5.
All right. I give it a 4.
I think I would have given it probably less if I had seen it closer to when it came out. I do think this movie benefits from
superhero fatigue.
Well, and also it's just like it's 25 years old. Like it's basically a period piece at this point.
Yeah, it's really fun. I've always liked this movie. I watched this movie at the perfect age.
Yeah.
And I will always have a special place in my heart for the movie that introduced me to Hugh Jackman Wolverine. And maybe now after watching this, do you have any more, like, it sounds like you have a little more sentiment toward Logan.
Some. Well, I mean, some toward the character. I don't know about the movie because I don't remember the movie very well. But I wouldn't say that he's my favorite character. I get why if you're like a kid watching this, he is so cool.
He is so cool.
But I feel like I am much more interested in like Professor X and Magneto.
Professor X is also in Logan.
And let's see. Is there anyone else? I mean, I think Cyclops, I want to know more about what his deal is. Because I also think that's as a kid, you never think you're Cyclops. But
no.
I didn't find Wolverine's jabs against Cyclops as cool as I might have if I was still a teenager.
At the time, those were the funniest dialogue moments a movie could have. And yeah, this is not the franchise where you find out more about Cyclops, just because they do kind of nerf him comparatively to the cartoon. I always loved Cyclops. Did you ever play X-Men Legends as a kid?
No.
Oh, very fun video game. Cyclops was like, I mean, he's like the leader in that because it's an X-Men video game. Really good. Well, I guess that does it for us.
Yep.
And we will be reconvening in a couple weeks or so to discuss X2, X-Men United. And then we will do X3 and then First Class and Days of Future Past. Leading up to Deadpool 3.
All right. Until then, I've been Jordan Peoples, and Marvel has sucked.
I have been Cade Weiberg, and no, it doesn't.